rhetorical question, but you never know. Cymbalki, how come we do that tonight? Or how about we do that tonight? What did you make of it, Ian Lennox?
Oh, no, it was fine. It was, he's got a good sense of rhythm, I think. But, you know, I just tend to think of times where I listen to really great songs, which I remember, and this isn't a great great song, but it's perfectly all right. Yeah,
it's perfectly okay. In the second hour of the programme, we'll be back with Ian Lennox. Yay! Because we want to find out why he actually once ran more than the players when they actually won one match 10-0. No, we're not talking about Newcastle United. That'd be silly. We are talking about North Shields FC.
Who are Wembley, I think, this week?
Yeah, well, there we are. Yes, North Shields FC on the way to Wembley for the FA Vars final. All this, plus the return of Minty Steed and Leicester, the leaping lurcher. From Leicester, and indeed Phil Linus, that was last night, where we looked at the right thing. Paul Pennington from Word on Health coming up on the Midweek Drive morning edition with Jared Johnson, Jessica Ward, Ian Lennox, Alex Levchuk, and you, dear listener, because you're an important intrinsic part of the show on Siren 107.3 FM.
This is the Midweek Drive morning edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Indeed. Weather today, highs of 12 degrees centigrade, lows of 2 degrees centigrade, and some bright or sunny intervals will occur, but there will be occasional showers leading to a fine and dry evening. So excellent for revision, I would have thought, actually, Jessica, in terms of that, because you can be indoors there, you can miss all the rest of the bits and pieces, or you can console yourself with the fact that, well, you know, it's possibly raining outside, so best to actually be indoors and actually sort of do my stuff from that point of view. Quite rightly so, too.
From New Zealand to the Isle of Man via Lincoln and netball, Jessica Ward encompasses the essential ingredients of being a midweek drivette with added antipodean friendliness. I'm Phil Lairness, and I failed to understand at least two words in that announcement.
That's the kind of quality that brings us all sorts of magic, isn't it, Ian Lennox?
Right.
Antipodean, Phil. Antipodean. Never mind. The lady killers are out doing that. So tell us about this coverage of North Shields FC.
This is when I was many years ago.
As an 18-year-old.
18-year-old club reporter.
In the press box. What's going on?
We used to go to the ground at North Shields, I think at Wembley this week. They played at a ground called Appleby Park at the time, and it was one of those community grounds, you know. It held about... quite a few thousand. But the sort of posh bit was the floodlights on telegraph poles and that sort of thing. And there was only one phone in the press box, which was owned by the local weekly news. So I wasn't allowed to use it. So what used to happen was, if any serious development in the game, I had to run out the ground. I had to run right round the ground before I could get out. And then about another 400 or 500 yards to this telephone box where I had to phone an update. Which worked. I mean, I was young and I was quite fit, so it didn't. But come the day that they won 10-0, I was absolutely exhausted, and I think I ran more than the players did.
And you see, that's why I think we should bring that back to reporting on matches. What do you think, Jim?
Anyway,
you know, forget all your kind of highfalutin technological sort of social media, etc. Run out of the ground with the news. Go from that point of view.
I think you'd have to run more than half a mile now to find a phone box.
Well, about 6 miles. Anyway, by the time the 10th goal went in, the reporter on the Shields Weekly News looked at me and said, look, mate, he says, use this phone. I was allowed to, the first and only time to use their phone, to phone the results.
That's the joys of being a cub reporter, reporting on, let's try and get some vernacular accent here, the Shields man, North Shields, as opposed to South Shields. And we wish them well, of course. Who are they playing tomorrow, by the way, in the FA Vars final?
Yes. I think it's tomorrow. It may be Sunday, I'm not sure.
Well,
but
we'll just have to find out.
Yeah,
really,
they were in the cup, the FA Amateur Cup final about in the 60s sometime.
Well,
and I think the centre-half, I think it's a bloke called Ron Tatum, was playing when I was reporting, I think. And he's still supporting them. I think he's about 65 now.
They're on their way to Wembley, according to the Newcastle Chronicle, but presumably we're not interested in who they're actually
against
playing.
Who?
I have no idea.
You know, we
no
can't just leave the... I mean, you know, they're clearly sort of...
Arthur McKenzie played for North Shields briefly.
No.
Yes, he did.
Before or after he became UK World Discus Champion?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he played rugby for the British Police as well, I think. He's a good athlete, though.
Absolutely.
You know.
Very, very positive. So, we've seen that they're actually playing Derbyshire side.
Yes.
Glossop North. Right. What a magical name that is.
Well, let's hope Gossip North goes south.
Yeah, so astounding stuff there. And assistant manager Andy Bowman actually is reporting for the Chronicle on the Shields squad. So I don't know, Jessica, you have virtually no interest whatsoever in association football, but will you be following the Shields?
Probably not.
There we have it. honest as ever. You know,
an honest if not encouraging answer.
Exactly. That's very important.
This is the last time I've read my book, isn't it? There's definitely a trend setting here.
As indeed, Jessica Brackett's Ward, the lass who hasn't read Ian Lennox's book.
That's
how her mum Bronwyn refers to her. You know, ye Jessica, are you still the lass who hasn't
so
read?
So ashamed.
Yes, hasn't read Ian's book. It's fantastic.
Mindy Stead rang me this weekend.
And we're calling her in a few minutes of time.
All right, well, anyway, she asked if she could get a copy of the book. So yeah. As a last time at Lincoln University, not reading it, so you might as well take her.
Well, hard to mind.
So
she needs to have something to do over the summer period.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
Stuff. Okay.
Something to do is not reading.
Jared, any sort of words that you want to share with Ian? Because, of course, as a colleague of Patrick Bamford, of course, Middlesbrough's ace player, and let's face it, Ian, it could well be Charlton Athletic 19, Bournemouth 0, but probably unlikely. Yeah. Probably an unlikely result, but still. Any sort of thoughts that you'd like to share with Ian?
Can I go back to the Newcastle United situation?
He's going to be in pain.
I just wondered what Ian's opinion was on John Carver, because obviously he's a Geordie and a lot of fans
probably
seem to want Alan Pardew.
Half his problem is he's a fan, of course, and he's got emotionally involved, and I think he's so deeply upset that Pardew is much more detached from the situation. You know, he needed to stand back and look at things. And I don't think John does. And also, he's been put in a situation where he's had a huge run of injuries. Newcastle had seven or eight of the first team out. And it's all been completely forgotten, because every time Newcastle start to lose, the groundswell of opinion swells up against Mike Ashley.
Yes.
And so no one makes excuses for John Carver.
Who would you like to see take over the hot seat?
In the fantasy football world, Klopp. we're not going to get it. We'll probably get a reasonably high standard. I suspect McLaren's going to come from Derby. If not, we'll probably go abroad, I would think. Various people trying to prize the Bournemouth manager away from the club, but I think he's been there since he was 10 years old. And
apart from a brief sojourn at Burnley, of course.
Did he? I didn't know that.
He went from Bournemouth to Burnley on the basis that they both began with a B, but then realised he made a mistake and ended back to Bournemouth pretty soon after. Listen, Paolo Di Canio is available, so, it's not all that. He'd be great for comedy value.
I think your manager might be available pretty shortly.
It's
sometimes these things...
It's really unkind business. I mean, he's won the title.
Yes.
And he's going to finish in the top four.
Yes.
He's come at a time when financial restrictions are coming play at Manchester City. And his team are getting older, and some of the better players aren't playing as well this season anyway, as they have done. Yeah. So he's got a tough job on.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to buy some more Arsenal players, or possibly Liverpool people will be sort of...
That's your solution, isn't it? Bye.
It's a way forward.
Like a wife and a seal.
Jared, would you like to pose those last two questions to the Lennox Meister so he can have his breakfast, please?
Have you enjoyed your time with us this morning, Ian?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I've spoken more than normally.
Yeah. Give you an added bonus, you see. Always good.
And do you think you might join us again as well?
Yes, only if Manchester City lose.
Next week.
We'll see you next week, Ian. Bye for now.
Okay, well,
Magnificent 8, possibly. Not Roland, you're not the man you used to be, because every 7 years your entire cellular structure changes and adjusts, and just the very notion of life is changed. That's part and parcel of the whole rich tapestry. Anyway, enough of such philosophy. A reminder that we actually have in the studio Jessica Ward, our ace Antipodean correspondent from New Zealand. Very important that we mention the New Zealand side of things there. And of course, a rural correspondent from the Isle of Man, who I know last week was stunned and amazed by Leicester the Leaping Lurcher.
was, yes.
Oh, exactly. To the extent we said we need to find out more, if only for Jared Johnson, sort of sake, about Leicester the Leaping Lurcher, Milo, terriers getting out of cages, flat tyres with no sort of ways of actually sort of sorting things through. I don't know where she's going to go. Minty Steed, welcome to the programme.
Thank you. We're going straight to the flat tyre situation. When people decide to discard things on roads, etc., it would be rather useful if they're going to throw things out that they don't throw things out of sharp metal objects along with them at the same time.
Fair point.
Because the binder you use to go around, such as pallets and, you know, heavy loads, and most people cut them through and put them somewhere amongst all the rest of the discarded things. They don't usually throw them on the road. And we went over, couldn't avoid it, and there it was, it stuck straight into the tyre, then the length of it wrapped itself around, you know, actually around the whole wheel, and managed to cut most of it off, but of course couldn't take that piece out, otherwise we'd have gone completely flat. Managed to sort of nurse the car along to get to the showground, then decided to change said tyre, and found that only about one third of the equipment we needed to change said tyre was in the along with the jack and that in where they should be. So what we had to do next was enlist and recruit a few people, and of which I'm very grateful to the 3-4 people who came forward, and between them they mustered up enough things so the tyre could be changed plus help to do it. So David, whose grandson is going to, we understand, be big time in football before too long, and the other grandson who isn't interested but definitely aiming towards future other things. Thank you very much, David, who did most of that, and to Nicole, who helped out, and everyone else, and Barry Wilde, of course, from Lancashire Shores, the Lakelands. He was there, and he was very helpful too, and it was very pleasing to see Barry looking a lot healthier and better than he did last year, as he didn't attend an armed amount of shows due to ill health. It was a bit adventurous. In the meantime, as we're actually going along the road, we seem to be attracting quite some amount of attention, and it turned out that Jan had made his way out of his cage, and he was actually sitting very much, you know, dog post for begging, as in, you know, various adverts, looking up and that, and he was actually just viewing the scenery with his paws over the side of the trailer, watching the whole thing and thoroughly enjoying himself. He couldn't get out completely and he couldn't be hurt in any way, but he was thoroughly enjoying it and having a scenic view, and at the same time everyone was waving and, you know, at him, and if he could have waved his paw back, he would have done. So that was, we had to stop and do that and put him back in said cage, and off we went. And he didn't get out a second time, but when we did arrive on the showground, he decided, well, now we've actually arrived, he would hop out again and watch to see where he was going to go into the ring, of which he did win a prize during the day. And Tam, his brother, was quite sort of thought his elder sibling, because Jan was born first, was behaving in a somewhat sort of rather football-y manner. He seemed to think of it and didn't approve of it at all.
So, when you said hold it momentarily, yeah. Matthew. Now, yeah. Jan is a terrier, is that right?
Yeah. Yes, that's
good. Nice. So that's, and when you say he was behaving in a footballer sort of way, are we talking about somebody who's throwing a strop, a wobbly? Is he?
Well, you know, when they tend to, when the coaches and the dog are always quite a few, and it used to be when we had a rather larger army than we have now, and if you're going to make your way up the motorway for any reason, if there were maybe 20, 30 army wagons on the go, you know, they would, if there's an opportunity to do so, roll up the side. They'd all lean out and shout and wave at you, you know, that sort of thing. And footballers football followers who would definitely want to make sure you can see their colours, you know, for their team. And I mean, of course, they'll spot their own teams. They will sometimes lean out, you know, to not in a dangerous way, but or put the flags out or whatever, so you can make sure you know exactly who's going past. And he was making sure everyone could see him, you see. So he was advertising himself, you know. enthusiast for the sport, you see. Nice. The sports of Terry had done that way around, and his brother was thinking, oh no, you ought to just glory in the ring, you know, instead of shouting you're coming before you even get there, you know. He seemed to consider it not quite the dumb thing.
I'm seriously considering inviting Jared Johnson to actually come along, possibly with Ed Wellman and myself, to actually this year's Great Yorkshire Show and actually lead the Terriers into the ring. I mean, I don't know, how do you feel about leading Terriers?
Yeah.
Terrier leader?
We do need three for the up-to-a-year-old class. Yes, we need three leaders for the up-to-a-year-old class, and that's Yam, Tan and Titherer, which, if anyone's wondering, it's 1, 2, 3 in the Yorkshire dialect when they used to count out the sheep. Yam, Tan, Titherer, you see.
Genius. It could be the Terrier boy band of the
absolutely.
And what a way to actually add that to your Monday breakfast shows as well.
Yeah, I know.
Adventures of Yam, Tan and Titherer. The Terriers and the experience of the Great Yorkshire Show. It's phenomenal.
It brings a whole new meaning to TT, doesn't it?
Well, JTT, fantastic stuff. So back to Leicester then. I mean, because this is, you know, I think it's fair to say, Jess, you're keen on the Jess,
keen
on the
Leicester
scenario. How is Leicester the Leaping Lurcher coming on with?
Oh, it's fine. Very, very keen to get on with more of it. He really is. Anyone who wants to see this, go to the English Heritage event at Burley, which of course is Stamford Lincolnshire. Go to that one. Or if you're listening further afield, there's one in Hampshire this weekend. We're not attending that one because we're going Yorkshire Tour bicycle.
Obviously the Tour de Parks and the Tour de Cycles and the things from that point of view. What will you be doing with? I mean, is it literally a case of getting on your bike?
Well, there is someone, if we can get it back into enough order, we shall be going in the equivalent to a rickshaw, but pedalled bike style, with Toffee with me. But if you can't get it fully back assembled, as you had a little debacle of a situation with it, you know, not his own fault, but unfortunately these things do happen. If you can't get it into full repair, we've already been invited to do this for the big cycle festival that's going to be held later on, but we're going amongst all the media horde, you know, and we're going to be following it from as many points as we can, and Toffee's the only media hound, we'll call him a hound for this one, who's going to be there, and he has his person now. She does All Sewn Up, which is the name for a sewing service, busy making blue, yellow and white special jackets to be worn over his special disability aid terrier jacket, yes. So we hope that he'll look the part.
Jessica, questions from yourself?
Yes, it sounds like a lot is going on. Is this still the same show that had the horse skating, was it?
Yes, I know, horse boarding.
Burley, they will be doing everything they did at Rydale. It goes round about 20 shows, and we've been invited to Sandringham as well for the end of the year one. So we'll be down at Sandringham, one they have round about end of September, early October time for Sandringham. We're going there because it's within the grounds of Sandringham itself, you know, for the Queen. Yeah.
And have you attempted horseboarding yourself?
Horseboarding, well, many moons ago, I did come up with an idea. I like horseboarding, which is also very popular in the world. And we did, and that's nothing to what I used to do. I mean, I thought nothing about sliding, going down on a very able pony, and climbing all the way up a haystack, riding the said pony straight up the side of it when they've been taking certain bales out, so it's like enormous steps, going up and then sliding all the way down to the ground. Oh yes, we can do that. And I did for a bet ride backwards. I was backwards, you know, going up the top of a silage clamp, turning round, of which there was about 3 foot of slurry because the cattle had been in and they had just been turned out, so it was just about 3 foot deep in slurry. You had to be partially cleaning it all out, so I had that to drop into if I misjudged it. Turning my pony round by being guided by the idea of where I was, how many poles up the silage clamp had gone, turning him round, coming down the other way, going across the two fold yards which the cattle had been in, which again was solid slurry in the compacted down slurry, of course, been in all winter, and then my pony then jumping while I'm still backwards up into the next area, which was like about a 2 foot jump upwards from the top of this sort of set fast slurry, and I was doing fine and I got up to that bit, but I forgot that you know, that this pony was a very, very good jumper, could clear 5 foot easy, could clear fence tall himself. So he made quite a jump of it, he didn't just hop up it. And above me was the frame of a door that had been there about 100 years ago, but the frame was still in the fencing. So I had to then, because he jumped so high up, I was sort of head level to the top of the frame. So I took hold of it, and my pony proceeded on and went back into his stable, and I was suspended, holding on to the top of the door frame with a choice when to let go to drop into the slurry.
So we're looking at videos of such adventures as UK Border Force, One-Trick Pony, Consider It Done. Jared, I mean, this could be your summer sport, especially opened up for the breakfast thing. Fancy a bit of horse boarding, my boy.
I would pay to see that.
It's a cracking thing to do. Do have a go.
I would neither have the skill or bravery in order to do that. It looks very challenging.
Well, I just feel it's there to sort of be over there. Horse boarding UK.
How long do you think it would take to kind of perfect that kind of
showmanship?
About 4 months.
Very
nice. About four months.
Mere 4 months. By the time you get to the second year, you'll be a horse boarder extraordinaire.
Yeah.
The star could work through. Jessica's already signed up for the task.
It's a good one. Have a go. You know, really do. Think yourself into it. Throw yourself into it. That's the best way, because if you throw yourself into it, and just remember, if you feel you lose your balance, just relax as much as possible and then just roll, because if you tense up, you're going to hurt yourself.
Exactly. I've been wakeboarding before, so I suppose it's not far off.
That's the sort of thing, in a way, except you've got an unpredictable horse at the other end of it, who decide to go left or right, you know. And just because there's a rider on does not necessitate the horse is going to do exactly where you what you think it's going to do.
Exactly.
So
it just makes it more fun.
Precisely. So there
we are. You've got to. Life is an adventure, you know. Yeah.
Precisely. And the Spanish Inquisition, as well as some of the great things that are actually taking place there on horse boarding.
And of course, the Fiery Jack and the jesters there, and everyone that's there that we couldn't manage to get round, every single person, the racing ferrets, the lot.
Sounds fantastic. And again, I think, you know, we need to head off to Paul Pennington for word on health, which is probably what you need after a bit of horse boarding. So great stuff there. Jessica, last two questions for Minty, please.
So Minty, have you enjoyed the midweek drive this morning?
Oh yeah, and especially hopefully we've maybe inspired some people to go along to Burley and see what they could maybe dream of doing, you know, watch everything and have a go, you know, try to see what you can do.
I'm sure you have. And will we be hearing from you in the near future?
Yes, and especially when I come back on a plug for Future Save, for people who need somewhere for their animals to be cared for until they're either well and back out of the hospital or whatever life troubles hit them. We do that for people, but some people still don't know about it. So we are here if you have a situation. You don't lose your animal, but you would like it looked after for a while so it's got your life out. Just let us know if you decide.
And you can contact Minty either via info@southsideradio.com or indeed just direct line to studio@sirenonline.co.uk. I'm
That's
sure
right.
we'll sort the thing through from thence. Minty,
yeah,
we salute
we're here
you.
To help.
Take care. Paul Pennington up next with UK Health Matters and time for a flock of seagulls.
Bird braving the battlements of broadcasting. It's the midweek drive time on Siren 107.3 FM.
This is the Word on Health Report with Paul Pennington.
Word on Health.
The stories that matter, the issues that count. Your personal prescription for your very best of health.
It's the pressure of blood in the arteries, and if it's too high over a period of time and not treated, then you'll be at an increased risk of heart attack, stroke, kidney disease, dementia, and some eye conditions. Also called hypertension, high blood pressure usually has no symptoms and is often termed the silent killer. The only way to find out what your blood pressure is to have regular checks. In other words, know your numbers. So do we. Professor Graham McGregor is from the charity Blood Pressure UK.
I think on the whole, the answer is no, but people are getting much more aware of the importance of blood pressure, more important than their weight, because it's a bigger determinant of how long you live. Knowing what your blood pressure and knowing what you should do about it is the single most important thing you can do. 30 to 40% of the adult population in the UK have high blood pressure. Now, that percentage increases as you get older, but even at 20 years old, 20% have high blood pressure. 50 years, about 50% do, and at 80, 80%.
Of course, the good news is that high blood pressure can be treated and often prevented. Graham, talk us through the things that we can do to lower our risk of high blood pressure.
It's better to start early in childhood because that's when your blood pressure starts going up. The major factor that puts our blood pressure is the huge amount of salt that we eat quite unnecessarily, and we must try and do something about that. If you're able to make your own food from fresh ingredients and have more fresh fruit, vegetables, and avoid the saturated fat, then you're on a really healthy diet, and that will certainly bring your blood pressure down. Incidentally, it will also bring your cholesterol down. Exercise does play a role in regulating blood pressure and cholesterol, and increasing your exercise within your capabilities is beneficial.
I know it's vitally important if you're diagnosed with high blood pressure and put on treatment that you continue taking the medication and following those lifestyle changes recommended by your doctor.
It's not a thing you treat for a few weeks. Blood pressure's with you for life.
To find out more about this story and for a roundup of the latest health news, log on to our website. It is, of course, www.wordandhealth.com. That's www.wordandhealth.com. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Our address being at Word and Health. Word on Health. On air and online 52 weeks of the year with Paul Pennington. Word on Health. Your personal prescription for your very best of health.
Quintessential quality. Although I'm often thinking that maybe that beep, which goes so quickly, almost like a Newcastle United supporters fan base, they might flatline at the end. But no, we now can actually say welcome to the genius behind, of course, the Word on Health podcasts, features, featurettes, mini scenarios, things that quite literally on air 52 weeks of the year. It is Paul Pennington. Paul, how are you?
Hey, I'm very well. Listen, I'm just writing out the cheque for that compliment. It's £15 a ton. Listen, you're going to bankrupt me, pal. Really, thank you so much. I'm honoured and blessed that you think that our work is good enough to grace the airways for the goodly listener listening in. Thank you.
It is very important, and it's also a key side of things, because obviously within Siren we have the Siren Lifestyle with our other sister station, Southside Broadcasting. We run through from that point of view. But for the benefit of our two co-presenters in the studio, both level one journalists extraordinaire, although seem to be level two, of course, second year to you and me, Paul, Jessica Ward and Jared Johnson. What led you to develop this whole scenario of Word and Health? Because it's been going a good few years.
Yes, this year it's my 18th year on air covering health. I've come of age, and 17 years of Word on Health, would you believe? Incredible how it's gone from a series that started on one radio station in Scotland and is now in 78 communities across the UK, reaching 6.5 million listeners. And it's continuing to grow, and fabulously so. Nobody pays to be on the programme, nobody pays to take the programme or broadcast it. It's there. We like to think on quality alone, and thanks to your kind words, we're clearly keeping to that. It started out of necessity. Back in the day when commercial radio, as it were more about playing records than covering local issues. And thanks to
aren't
your
they
state.
Still the same, Paul? Sorry, that sounds
very
like commercial
just,
radio.
I was just getting there. I'm about to say, you know, thankfully, thanks to yourselves and others across the country, we have this huge growth in community radio stations by the community, for the community, is the buzzword. And, you know, we have people involved in presenting things that really matter to the local community. I think commercial radio has lost its way as such. And back in the day when I first started Word and Health, you know, you just couldn't get conditions like blood pressure, like fibromyalgia, like lupus, and the 600 other topics that we've covered in one way, shape or form or another with patient groups and healthcare charities. And it started when one of these presenters said to me, look, you know, you're sending some great stuff. Why don't you record it and send it to us? We'll put it on air. And then, you know, we know about records, we know about music, but we don't know about health. So why don't you have a go? And as I say, it started out with one Scottish radio station. I think the first series we did was called Health Check. It then became Well Woman Clinic. It then came UK Health Matters, and then it became Word on Health, and we've stayed that way for 17 years.
And we've been with you for a good chunk of that time, Paul. And long
you
may
certainly
it continue.
Haven't. Long may that continue, absolutely. Indeed. But before doing the health, I was a professional actor, and that led me into production, that led me into direction. Then I had a stint of journalism with News International. So, yes.
Small company then, obviously.
Pardon?
Small company, News International.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, tiny, tiny place. And then moved into the BBC, and then moved back into radio, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Now, interesting enough, as you're speaking to us, we're looking at the video featured in the About Us section of the wordonhealth.com, and almost it's syncing up with your own sort of speech. It's fantastic. Is that your good self in moody black and white that we're seeing
yes,
performing?
Yes, it's noir mode. Yes, it is. Yeah, it's a bit of the magician showing how it all works. Yes, that would be me. Yeah. And we've to sort of coincide with the 18th year of me being on air and 17 years of Word and Health, it's been really important for us to do what you guys do day in, day out, which is serve your community. So on the new look Word on Health website, people in the locale can now access local health services directly, get an A to Z of authoritative advice on anything that ails you, as well as get backup information on our feature that we're doing this week on blood pressure. We're featuring a charity of the week, charity of the month, so very delighted to have the Sick Children's Trust there, links to all the charities that we support and look after every year, and just try to make it a little bit more vibrant and modern. And, you know, we now feature Twitter, which I'm still trying to get my head around, I have to say. I think it's a complete waste of time, but you've got to get with the flow. If that's the way that people are communicating with each other, then we want to have a bit of that as well.
140 characters or less. Jared, as you're starting your new breakfast show in June, of course, first week in June, what do you think? Do you think you might want to feature some of these wonderful Word on Health little
Absolutely,
podcasts?
Yeah. I think just looking at the website and just listening to you, it seems like, you know, it's a great... I mean, I can't really put into any more words, you know.
He's blown away. A young man who was only 2 years of age when Word and Health started is now blown away by the whole production ball.
I do think it's, you know, you've picked up, obviously all those years ago, picked up on something that wasn't being fulfilled. And I think, you know, if more people actually know about this, then they'll go to the website and listen in as well. I certainly will be doing.
Well, thank you very much, Jared, and good luck with your career. It's always fantastic to hear new people coming into the industry, because you keep us alive, you keep us on our toes. We don't necessarily want to move aside for you, but your sort of the competitive spirit of having new people coming into the industry, bringing new ideas, new ways of communicating, long may that continue. Really, really important. And it's a great pleasure for me to talk to you this morning. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's about satisfying need, but it's about audience, understanding your audience, what they need, how they need to be communicated with. Back in the day, we were making 7-8 minute radio features on health. You just can't do that these days. We tried to do a 90-second series, and that was too fast. So we settled on 3 minutes, an interview base. We try and keep things simple, try and uncomplicate very complicated conditions, try not to patronize, try not to condescend, talk with people as opposed to at them, and hopefully pass over stuff which is going to help people go, hang on a minute, I need to have a think about that. I think we all really do need to know that we can live a long and active life if we're prepared to do something about it. But, you know, we get bombarded with messages from people, and it's the way that you talk to people is the way that you get the best impact, and hopefully Word and Health contributes to that.
Jessica, as a New Zealander now based in the Isle of Man and in your journalism degree area, thoughts and questions for Paul?
Yeah, well, you've been on a fantastic journey, and I think what you're doing is really, really important for the community. It's something that, well, everybody needs to look at their health, obviously. But since you've got a lot of experience, I'm just asking from a level one journalism perspective, what kind of advice would you give us for the future?
Well, first of all, the Isle of Man is one of my most favourite places on earth.
It is lovely.
Yeah,
I'll be dropping in to see you, Jessica. Don't worry.
Oh, please do.
It's a great place. Port Erin, Port St. Mary, Douglas.
Port St. Mary's
I could
favorite.
Talk about it for hours. You're in a really special place in my life, in my family's life. So, you know, that means a lot to me to know that's where you're at. Mm. I think one of the things, we've had people come through the doors wanting to work with us as interns, and you know they want to work in the media but have got no experience. And I would say if you're, I talked about Twitter earlier, social media, blogging, experience, you know, write. There are so many opportunities now to share your work, share your thoughts, share your feelings with others. So I would say, you know, blog, I would say tweet, I would say social media, I would say look to get as much experience as possible. You know, you should be reading the newspapers. I read at least 5 newspapers a day, watch the radio, watch TV. Keep in touch with the way that news is parceled, the way that it's communicated, and keep in touch with public affairs and public culture and popular culture as well. Because at the end of the day, we're reporting, we're following, we're not necessarily leading as we used to in journalism. So, you know, it's about sort of writing things in the way that people find them acceptable, and the only way of doing that is to immerse yourself in the very thing that you're looking to serve as a journalist in future.
It's like a miniature masterclass. It's fantastic.
It is, yeah.
I'm very
yeah.
impressed with Bass Agacé. I presume there's a Agacé as opposed to Bass Agacé, because
no, it's Bass Agacé.
It is Bass Agacé. Wow, literally,
that's an amazing name.
I know, it rhymes in everything, right? I mean, he's French, so it's lost on him. No, I love the French. I seriously do. We have a lot of banter between me and him, because when he first came to England, which was about 19 years ago, he didn't speak very much English, and he learned English from the late and great John Peel and Only Fools and Horses. It's quite an eclectic mix. But yes, and John Peel was his absolute god in terms of new music, and he's a fantastic fellow, and I don't know where I'd be without him. He's just a genius when it comes down to music, and he makes me sound very, very good. He lives in France, so we work sort of between the two of us, and then we have young Bernadette, who is the glamour of the team, sandwiched between the rose between two thorns on the About Us page.
It's like BP or other, BBP, basically. Yeah. Bass, Bernadette and Paul.
Something like that.
Genius
like
stuff.
That.
Bass, of course, short for Sebastian. Which is interesting. Yeah. Sebastian. Brilliant.
And we're excited because we just had a new member of our team join us, Hannah Martin, who's joined us as an assistant producer. She's a 20-year-old, ex-drama, interested in journalism, and it's just fantastic to have that energy coming into ours and feeding us with new ideas, new ways of doing things. We're just about to relaunch a Doc Spot series, which Hannah's producing for us. And, you know, again, just fantastic to have new people coming into the business, bringing new ideas. So good luck to the pair of you and anybody else that's listening that's looking at a career in journalism. Fantastic. It's a great industry.
There we are. Mm. Paul, it's been absolutely splendid.
Yeah,
and I think
you.
William Sidwell, our wonderful culinary guru and master chef person, and he'll be proud that you've actually stepped into his breach and do this back whilst he's sunning it in Boston, USA. brilliant. So, Paul, have you enjoyed being back on the programme?
Really have, and thank you so much indeed for the opportunity to be on, and thank you for the support of the series. It really means a lot to me.
So can we look forward to hopefully featuring you again in the very near future?
It would be an absolute pleasure.
A round of applause for Paul Bennington, please.
Putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.